Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and welcome to Back to the Frame Rates Movie Musings bonus episode. This is what happens when we do our bonus episodes probably in the middle of the night. After we do a full episode,
it's
totally worth it because we're just gonna hobnob about a couple things going on and what we've been watching.
A lot of cool.
We just finished discussing our review of The Revenant, which is gonna drop later this week. It was exhausting. It was exhausting, and I somehow ended up being the bad guy.
There were feelings in that podcast, Nathan. Arguably more emotional arc in that pod than we had in the film.
I think so. So what we're going to do, we're just going to talk a little bit about what we've watched this week. Maybe touch on a few things happening in the world of movies. There is I will, but Carl Weathers passed away a few days ago, which really hit me hard because being a child of the 80s and a huge fan of the Rocky films, of course, where he is most known for, it really hit me hard. Maybe I'll just get into it right now, but it actually popped up on my news feed and I immediately I pulled over. Wow. Because of course I was looking at my phone while I was driving, which I shouldn't be doing. it just took my breath away when I saw this because he's, I think, so ingrained in my upbringing. And, you know, I've been a Rocky fan for a while. Of course, a lot of people know him from the movie Predator. And you know what? There was a movie that I loved growing up that it's not a good film, but I love it, called Action Jackson from, I think, 1987 or 1988.
I have heard of this movie, but I've never seen it. I might now that I know Mr. Weathers was in it.
It came out shortly after, I think it came out in 88, because he got some extra popularity from the movie Predator. And then he was trying to parlay that into an action career, and it didn't really pan out, but he did this movie called Action Jackson, and I'm gonna just pull it up on my 1988. Looked down on IMDb, directed by Craig R. Baxley. It actually has a 5.5 rating on IMDb, so it's not terrible. You should actually check out the trailer. I looked at it before, it's hysterical.
I actually
was thinking like maybe I should watch it this past week, and I didn't get around to because it was really busy. It's on Tubi.
Oh,
so you could check it out. But it's one of the few vehicles for Carl Weathers, cuz you know he really was always a co-star in a lot of things. You kind of think about what he did, and he was mostly known as Apollo Creed, which was always playing second fiddle to, you know, Sylvester Stallone in those movies. A great role for him, or, you know, co-starring role in Predator, or, you know, recently popping up in the Mandalorian
series. I was so happy to see him in the Mandalorian. So I knew him from Predator, and then from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
As a child of the 90s.
Yes.
I'm more familiar with his later career. But when I saw him in The Mandalorian, it was like, oh my gosh, where has Carl Weathers been? And maybe he'd been around that whole time. It was just off my radar. But I'm glad that we got to see him so recently before his passing.
Yeah. And you know, there's a a commercial that's circulating right now that also features Rob Gronkowski, tight end for the Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All about Gronk, yeah.
You know, so it's part of this whole Super Bowl promotion where the Kick of Destiny or whatever it is. Mm. I don't know if you've seen the commercial that's been airing a lot on TV right now, where Rob Gronkowski misses this field goal, but he has another shot at redemption to kick the field goal. And Carl Weathers shows up in a motorcycle and with a little sidecar and picks him up. This commercial has started airing only like a week and a half ago, like crazy. Aww. And they're already having to like pull the ad and adjust it. And it's this great moment with Carl Weathers. And it's so sad that, you know, even up until the last couple of weeks, he's prolific in these types of things. I mean, and it's just so sad because he was only 76. Think about him. He seems like he was somebody that would continue to put out, be part of these shows and movies going for a long time. So it's quite sad. There's some wonderful statements put out from Sylvester Stallone and even Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was great friends with him ever since they worked together on the Predator movie. But very, very, very sad, very unfortunate of his passing. So that happened on February 1st, 4 days ago or 5 days ago from our recording. So yeah. So I just wanted to acknowledge his passing, which is quite sad. Another thing I wanted to mention before we get into what we've watched, I wanted to mention this a couple weeks ago, and I didn't have a chance, is the passing of director Norman Jewison. Mm. Now, he's done so many films, but most of them I actually haven't seen, and I don't know. Are you familiar with a lot of his work?
Yeah, actually, I kind of am. So I'm a huge Moonstruck fan. Anyone who has listened to our podcast, anyone who has unfortunately heard any behind the scenes, I talk about Moonstruck all the time. It's an incredible film. I think it's like, for me, Moonstruck is like the My Cousin Vinny of just being Italian. Like, it's perfect. Right. So I just think that's awesome. But I also grew up with a mom who was just really into his movies, like Jesus Christ Superstar, In the Heat of the Night, Watch Fiddler. Well,
that's the movie that I connect with the most. I love In the Heat of the Night. Oh. And I've seen that maybe 4 or 5 times or so. But that movie is
you
canon
could
for me.
That another 100 times and it would be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep looking at his filmography and it's incredible, but it's also like, it makes me like hate myself. Cause like I have so many of these, like these are just incredible titles that like, why haven't I watched these? Cincinnati Kid, I have not seen. The Fiddler on the Roof, I don't know if I have seen that movie in its entirety, which is embarrassing to say because, you know, I was brought up Jewish. It is probably my mom's favorite movie of all time, maybe after The Sound of Music. She'd go around the house singing all the songs from Fiddler on the Roof. Topol, I think, was her favorite actor.
Sure.
So I saw that. Rollerball.
Rollerball's good. Have you seen Send Me No Flowers?
No, I don't even know anything about it.
That's really pretty cute. Send Me No Flowers. Like, I put in the same category as like Pillow Talk. I don't know if you've seen Pillow Talk with Doris Day, but it's just a sweet movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A few others on here. Yeah, again, Rollerball. I know I've seen it and I don't know, can't recall much about it. Mm-hmm. The follow-up Fist with Sylvester Stallone, actually, I don't think I have seen in its entirety. And Justice for All, pretty well-known Al Pacino movie, I don't believe I have seen either. So it keeps going down the list here. Moonstruck, I have seen. Then his later career, Other People's Money, a Danny DeVito film, I know I've seen. I don't think it was something I enjoyed that much. Late entry in his career, fantastic film with Denzel Washington, The Hurricane. I didn't even know he directed that, but that is a fantastic film. One of, I think, Denzel's better performances.
Well, that's what I was just going to say before you mentioned that, is you read through his laundry list of credits, and I don't think if you were looking at them, you would necessarily know that he's the mastermind behind all these films. I wouldn't say he has a particular style that he adheres to super closely throughout his filmography.
Definitely not, because there's, you got kind of like silly comedies in here. Mm. You've got like best friends.
Like making movies.
Yeah, he did. Well, he was a studio director. So what it is, but you know, nothing here he has writing credits for. And this is what, you know, a lot of directors did in this era. He's starting off in the early 60s, and he was just great at what he did, you know. Mm. So yeah, as a, let's see, he also had a pretty extensive television career as well, which is directing a lot of TV. So it's in early in his career, so he got his cut his teeth in working in that medium. So so yeah, very sad. This has inspired me to check out some of his movies in, as soon as I can, and I have to see what's streaming.
But we can do a watch party.
I you know what, this is something I thought about doing before we got into what we're going to be doing on our next retrospective, which we haven't announced yet. But I thought about, you know, we did a Steven Spielberg retrospective. I thought about, in honor of Norman Jewison, maybe catch up on a few of these movies as a retrospective. I don't know how that well that would fly with our all of our co-hosts, yeah. But this is something at least I might do at some point, is catch up on some of these. But yeah. So yeah, Norman Jewison, great career. And yeah, I really would like to see some of these films at some point. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the things that we've seen this past week. I think it looks like you've ended some things, not just in the film world, but maybe some things you've attended as well. Why don't you begin?
I went to the Opera House here in Boston on Wednesday, and I got to see Moulin Rouge, and it's so good. Yeah. It's so good. We have to talk about it. Moulin Rouge, of course, a wonderful film. And I was like, how are they going to adapt this to the stage? Turns out with ease, with grandeur, with beautiful set pieces and even more pop songs. If you like jukebox musicals, get your butt in the seat. There were confetti cannons. There were sing-alongs. There was a live curtain before the show of dancers. And it was just every corner of that stage had something super interesting and fun to watch. It was faithful to the film, but it still felt new and exciting. It was perfectly cast. Yeah. Cannot recommend it enough. Deserved every Tony it won.
This was at the Citizens Bank Opera House, right? In Boston. This episode's going to air a few days from now. When does this production go through? Do you know? It's going to travel to other cities, I'm sure.
It will travel to other cities. I think it's only in Boston, maybe this week, maybe a little bit next week. But if you can catch it somewhere, you should catch it.
Yeah. I would like to see this. This was in Providence. Mm-hmm. Earlier, maybe about a month ago, and I heard amazing things about it too. So,
hell yeah,
yeah, good stuff. I haven't been to the theater, like a good theater production, in a long time.
Boston, it's easy to sort of end up at a college production, and it's not that those are bad, you know. I think oftentimes they're very good, but sometimes you just want to see a diva. Mm-hmm. You know, and it can be really exciting. And I love the Opera House in Boston. I just think it's really beautiful and ornate, and just sort of feels like as soon as you walk through the threshold there, you're a little bit transported. You know, you're going to have kind of a magical evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
All right. Tell me one more thing that you've watched or done this week.
Yeah, sure. One more. There was a lot more that I watched. All right.
The next thing.
On the musical theme, I watched American in Paris, Gene Kelly and Fair. So, and I love that movie. That movie is like chicken soup for the soul, I think. And sort of the more I watch it and the older I get, the thinner the plot gets to me and the more problems I have with it. And then I just think, yeah, I don't really care. This movie's chicken soup for the soul. And it's essentially just a weak plot structure to hold together all these fantastic dances and set pieces and costumes, and I could watch it all the time.
Ironically, it is one of the productions I saw live. It probably, it was like the Wang Center or Schubert Theater, or I forget which theater, in the late 90s or so. Great production of it. Sad story, though, because I was dating this girl, and I forget the circumstances of this, but I was going to surprise her with tickets to see An American in Paris.
Amazing.
Yes. And then I think it was a week before that she dumped me.
And
so I had these tickets and I went to see American in Paris. By myself.
Oh, you know what? I bet you were so taken away in the production.
No, it was depressing.
Okay. All right. I don't know what to tell you.
It was an expensive empty seat next to me is what it was.
Expensive coat rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to check my coat. Just put the, it was great. I think it was.
I'd love to see that live, but even just, I'm always enamored with like the color in that movie and the way the set pieces are interacted with and move. It just feels like a little bit of real like old school movie magic.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to share something I saw this week. I finally caught up with American Fiction, which I saw in the theater.
I need
last
to
weekend.
See that.
Yeah.
Is it so good?
I really liked it a lot. This is the highly acclaimed film from writer-director Cord Jefferson that stars Jeffrey Wright playing a struggling writer and professor who assumes a pen name to write this outlandish book that propels him into the literary spotlight. You know, let me tell you, Jeffrey Wright just won me over in the performance of the year. And one of the most complex characters I've seen on the screen. He's wrestling with self-doubt and pride, anxiety. You know, it just couldn't be more relatable to creative types such as myself who struggle to fight the good fight every day. I love this film. I saw it in the theater, so you might be able to still catch it. I think it's still playing in a lot of theaters right now, especially since it's been nominated for a bunch of awards. But I imagine it'll probably hit VOD in a month or less, because a lot of these indie films don't take long to get there. But I love this. Funny thing is, this is now the third movie where I think my top three favorite male acting performances are now either teachers or professors.
Oh.
I thought about this. Like, what is going on this year?
Wait, who are your other ones?
I love Paul Giamatti.
Oh, sure.
And Nicolas Cage
I don't know which one.
Oh, Nicolas Cage and Dream Scenario.
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah.
Blanked
another
on that
one. I gotta see.
Yeah, so it's so bizarre that there's some theme about teachers or college professors, and they're each of them is like a writer or a struggling
have to start another podcast
that has this mental block on them, you know. So I really loved American Fiction. It would might have made my top 10 if we I mean, I could always do my Letterboxd top 10 again if I had to. Probably
twist your
be
arm.
There. I know. I have to figure out what would knock off. That'd be hard. I hate to do that because they're like, oh, that movie was so good, but I don't want Godzilla Minus One to come off my list now, but it would have to if it would be in my top 10.
You did love Godzilla Minus One.
I did. I do. Yeah. I do. The other thing that I want to mention is I watched this film called Totally Killer. Have you heard of this?
Nope.
Okay. So this is directed by, I hope I don't butcher her name, Nanochka Khan. I hope I said it right. So I watched this past week. It's streaming on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a mashup of a couple genres, that being 80s style slasher and a time travel movie.
What?
So it's very meta. It knows exactly what it wants to be. So picture Back to the Future meets Scream.
Oh my gosh.
So it stars Kiernan Shipka in the lead role, who a lot of people might remember her as the Don Draper's daughter Sally in Mad Men.
Okay.
So
yeah.
she's all grown up now. I think she's 23 or 24 years old. I had a really good time with this film. I applaud what it's doing, The tone of this film is quite bizarre because it's fun, it's campy, it's more interested in poking fun at the slasher genre tropes than actually being scary. But it's got a lot of blood and gore in it, but it's kind of secondary to the science fiction time travel plot. But if you want kind of like a fun hangout movie, you could do far worse. But it's interesting mashup of these genres. So
cool.
I kind of recommend it. It's just kind of a bizarrely fun, interesting, weird idea of a film.
That sounds like a Friday night pizza movie.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, totally killer. And it's on Prime Video. So yeah.
If you like Kiernan Shipka, she was great in The Black Coat's Daughter.
Oh, okay.
And that's another awesome movie. Like a little bit of a thriller, psychological suspense, you know, that quote unquote elevated horror. I don't know if I like that term. I don't know where I land on that one, but gets bandied about a lot.
Yeah. And that's, I think, I can't think if there's really anything else I've been watching this week. I've kind of haven't had time to catch up in any of the series that I've been trying to finish. No, I did finish everything. No, I'm not really watching anything else. It was one other movie. Nope. That's it. That's it. That's all I've been doing.
That's all you got. Well, you know, I found out recently that my partner has not seen The Sopranos, and in my home that is grounds for divorce. So yeah, it's a real shame. I don't know how I let it go for as long as I did, but we're fixing it now, so we're going straight through. We're on season 5. It's been a blast.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we're powering through The Sopranos. No TV show has successfully made me feel so hungry as often as watching The Sopranos. Oh my goodness, they are eating good on that show.
It's
fun to watch.
I love it. Yeah. Anything else you want to highlight?
Those are the big ones. Unless you really want to talk about Josie and the Pussycats, but I won't put you through it.
Well, I actually have never seen it. But this might be the only opportunity you have to talk about Josie and the Pussycats. I mean, no, that's not true. You can talk about it every week, and that would be your thing. So tell me, what is your reason for watching Josie and the Pussycats? Is this something you've seen before? Is it one of your favorite films, or what is it?
It's not one of my favorite films, but it definitely feels just like the most fun time capsule of a film. It feels so aware of when it's being made, and so it makes so much commentary on the late 90s and early 2000s, and that's, it's referential, but it feels campy and fun. It's got this super straightforward A to B plot that's silly, but they managed to keep it nice and tight. The cast is insanely good. The cast is out of this world. And it just, it's just, I think if you're going to watch a 2001 movie, that's up there. Time capsule of a film, but still holds up. It's a perfect movie. I don't know what to tell you. It's a perfect movie. Okay. Perfect, like P-U-R-R. It's perfect. Josie and the Pussycats.
All right. So, yeah, I think that sums up what we've been watching and doing this week. Do you have any viewing goals or anything for this, you know?
I got to get my butt back to theater. So this always happens. You know, I'm always like, God, I have to power through and watch so many of these movies that, you know, these festival releases that I want to catch up on at the end of the year. And then come January, I'm like, I just want to watch TV. I don't want to watch movies. I just want to sit in my house. Maybe I'll actually read a book. I don't know. What? So for February, I'm trying to get to the theater more. I like to see American Fiction while it's in the theater. I think we're going to go see Argylle on Valentine's Day, which I think will be fine and fun. So I think right now it's really just getting back in the swing of things, back to the theater.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
There's not a lot I'm in a rush to see in the theater still. I'm looking at what's coming up. There's not much that's being released. I saw that Lisa Frankenstein comes out, which I'm in no real rush to see.
I'm not in a rush to see that one.
And Man, no. I mean, I think there's plenty that I'm still catching up with at home. As people that listen to the show know that I have been powering through my Robert Altman retrospective. I'm just about at the end of the 70s. It's taking me, I'm going really slow. I think, what was the last movie that I updated the world on? I can't remember.
I think the last time we talked about it, was it The Long Goodbye?
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah. So
the last thing, and I'm going to pull up my letterbox for a second here, is that's how I know where I left off. According to my diary, the last thing, oh, I know what I watched recently. I'm not going to talk about it though, because I don't feel like talking about it. I saw Quintet. Did I mention Quintet?
You might have.
I don't want to talk about
it. Not with any kind of verb.
No, I didn't like it though. It was my least favorite Robert Altman film I think I've ever seen.
Oh.
No, but that was from 1979. I'm about to break into the 80s. I think there's one more 79 film. But you know what? I will mention something about Quintet, even though I think I watched it 2 weeks ago. This is a science fiction film starring Paul Newman. It's this really overly self-serious and kind of complicated movie. It takes place, I think, in the future or in this otherworldly snow planet. Okay. I think Paul Newman is very miscast in this movie, which is interesting. It's a little shame. Weird. Which it is kind of a shame because I think Paul Newman is usually amazing in everything he does.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to say about this that I think is the most notable is that the way this is shot, the outer frame has this weird vignette around it. See how you're looking. See how you're looking at me now. Picture like everything around the edge of the movie has this like vignette, which makes it seem like it's supposed to be like this frosted snow globe feel to it. This movie is over 2 hours long. It does not break from this vignette the entire movie. So I'd say about 25% of your screen is blurred out.
It's frosty.
Yeah. If you were to just Google like.
That's
Quintet 1979, and you got like I saw a screen capture of any scene in it. The entire movie is this. It is a choice.
That is a choice.
It is a choice, and it just pounded me into submission. This movie. Mm. So no, not a fan. So I'm gonna not speak any more about Quintet.
Put it to bed.
Yeah. So that's all.
Yeah. All
right. So I think that's it. Other things, there's a couple new trailers that hit. New Guy Ritchie movies coming out called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah.
I'm a Guy Ritchie fan. This is back in his wheelhouse for me. The whole like underground, low budget, mid budget, you know, crime genre, which I love. I am kind of looking forward to this. I think it's who's in this here? It's got
this will be fun. Yeah. I like this is one of those movies, and I feel this way about Argyle, and I feel this way about this. Granted, I haven't seen them yet, but the type of movie where I'm like, pump one of these out a year, you know?
Exactly. This is what I was saying on our movie preview show, that this is the kind of stuff I want him to do. Although like I said before, I loved what he did with The Covenant. Which was such an anomaly, but this is the Guy Ritchie that I want. And I'm not a fan of the Guy Ritchie that is given $100 million budget to do big audacious movies. I think it's not what he's best at. Another thing that's coming out, I think a new trailer just dropped was Back to Black, which is the Amy Winehouse biopic.
Love that. We got a great documentary. Shut it down.
Exactly.
Shut it down.
I agree 100%. Amazing documentary, one of the best of the last decade or more. I don't think there's any more that has to be said about this, her story. And that's sad to say that because I think that her story is heartbreaking and but it doesn't – I don't think this needs to be said. I watched this trailer and I'm like – I don't know. I mean, I felt nothing. I really felt nothing. The dramatizing this story felt wrong. I don't know. And I feel bad saying that because
cheap.
Is it a cash grab? I don't know who's producing this. I don't know who's behind this necessarily, but it just...
When's the last time you saw a good music biopic?
My silence probably speaks volumes. I'm trying to think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know why? Because Walk Hard ruined that whole genre forever and ever. Yeah. Yeah. And when I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, it basically broke it even further, if that was even possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not good. That was not good. Yeah. I mean, I'll go see One Love when it comes out. I don't think I'm going to see this, but I don't. Every time I get a little excited for a biopic, and every time I think it's crap.
Is it biopic or biopic? I feel like I don't know.
I don't know words.
All right.
I feel like I've heard both.
People out there, is it biopic or biopic?
I don't know. Which one do you think it is?
I always say a biopic because it's a biography, or I don't say it, or biopic? Biopic or biopic? Biopic sometimes spelled bio
like it's a biographical picture. Like I get it, but I've been rhyming it with myopic.
Is the most common term used referred to? It doesn't give me any help. The internet fails me here.
Yeah.
How to pronounce biopic? I'm going to go with there's videos on this. How do you pronounce biopic or biopic?
Listeners, tell us.
What do you say? This is this month's poll.
Yeah. How do you say?
Is it GIF or probably, is it GIF or GIF? You know.
It's probably biopic. I say stuff wrong all the time. Whatever.
Someone here from July 31st, 2020 says bye, like B-Y-E, like bye, like at the very end of our show.
Well, bye.
Like after all, it's a biography. The more you know. I don't know. This guy could be on drugs though.
Listen. It's fine. I can be wrong about this. I can sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. It's fine. It's fine.
All right.
But yeah, there's some good fun stuff coming out. I don't think it'll be anything that is earth shattering, but it'll be fun. And that's all you need.
Yep. Okay. I think that's it. Anything left to say, or should we just wrap it up?
No, I think we should end on my horrendous pronunciation.
I think so too.
All right.
Adios. That's it. Bye, everyone.
Later.